We want to thank Perry Smith, who lives in South Carolina, but still faithfully participates with us in a lot of different ways, including reading the scripture. And if you're online with us today and you'd like to get involved with that ministry, we'd love to have you. So reach out to us, please. Let's take a minute as we pray together. God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for the gift of the scriptures. We give you thanks for the gift of this community. Just pray as we think together about what this word means for us today. They might be present in our thinking, in our understanding, and then later on in our living out of these words. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, is supposed to have said, "The church changes the world not by making converts, but by making disciples." Now, I say is supposed to have said because I found a whole lot of quotes. I'm like, I'm not 100% sure John Wesley said that. There was one that I found particularly funny last night I came across. It said, "Prayer is where the action is." Now, remember, John Wesley lived in the 1700s. I find it very unlikely that he would have said, "Prayer is where the action is." But in any case, I share this quote with you. This idea that we're not called to make converts, but to make disciples. Because whether or not it's actually a Wesley quote, I do think it sums up something about how Wesley thought about faith. The world's not changed by us simply believing what Jesus said. The world is changed when we do what Jesus did. That's what makes a difference. So we've had a lot of new folks come into the church recently, both in person and online, and for that I am incredibly grateful, and we are happy that you're with us. One of the things that I've been talking with people a lot about lately is, okay, I'm coming from a tradition, Catholic or Lutheran or whatever. How is your church different? You know, how is the United Methodist Church different? I often say that the difference between branches of Christianity is not so much what we actually believe, but rather what we emphasize. I mean, there are some differences, but it's mainly about what we choose to emphasize. And I think if you wanted to know what it is that we as United Methodists emphasize, this is a good place to start. Methodism is about faith and action. So we're starting this series this week. It's called Living Faith, and it brings together this very practical book of James, along with some very practical dimensions of what it means to be United Methodist. And so I wanted to preach these particular messages during this season as we lead into another general conference. Now, if you've not been United Methodist and you don't know what a general conference is, so every 4 years, we gather together, delegates from around the world gather together to set the direction of the church, to change the church's rule book, to adopt policies and procedures and budgets and all those kinds of things. And so next weekend, Kate and I will be away at that general conference in Charlotte. Now, we're not going as delegates, but instead Kate's going to be leading a group of students that she works with, and they're going to be having this experience as part of their training. And I will be there with them and looking forward to just observing what's happening and engaging something that I think is going to be one of the most really critical meetings of the General Conference that's happened in a long time. We've not had this meeting since 2019. So in 2020 was the last time we were regularly scheduled to have one. It was delayed because of the pandemic, obviously, but then it's continued to be postponed due to travel delays for delegates coming from around the world. Now, since 2019, our denomination is about 25% smaller in the U.S. than it was when we last met. A lot of traditionalists, what we call traditionalist congregations, have taken an option that the last general conference set up for churches to disaffiliate or leave the denomination. And they did that in part because they sensed that there was a change coming, potentially, around the church's official position relative to same-sex weddings and LGBTQ+ clergy. Now, that may surprise you. Well, didn't you see the signs outside, right? I'm not sure you say that the church's official position has not been affirming. Well, that's true. We voted very specifically in this congregation in 2019 to affiliate with a group called the Reconciling Ministries Network, which works for the full inclusion and affirmation of people, all people, within the life of the church. And so whether we'll actually see a shift at this general conference, I'm not 100% sure. But regardless of the outcome, I do want you to know that our position here at the church will not change. So we are committed to this idea that the church is for all people. And I continue to be intentional about wanting to be a pastor for all people. So I just encourage you over the next couple of weeks to be praying for our denomination, pray for the meeting at General Conference, and pray for the outcomes. And we'll try to share some updates on Facebook as this meeting unfolds. But I want to come back to this idea of faith in action. In the early days of the Methodist movement, and so in the 1700s, John Wesley and his brother Charles and some others, they were students, they were seminarians at Oxford, and they were studying for the priesthood. And on some level, what they did while they were there studying was nothing new. But it was a formula that the churches had to discover and rediscover over and over again throughout the course of its life. See, John and Charles and a few others formed a small group where they began to study and pray together. They'd meet 3 or 4 days a week. Now remember, they were students, so they had some time on their hands, right? They'd meet 3 or 4 days a week. They would study, pray. They would check in with each other. How is your walk with God? How are you doing? Are you being faithful? And over time, they began not only to pray together, but then also to go out and work together, to serve together, bringing together faith and action. They would pool their money to give to the poor. They would go and visit those in prison. What they hit upon was this idea that in a small community where they first cared for each other, they could then be energized to go out and care for others. So from caring for each other to caring for others. Now, there is a great line in one of Wesley's sermons, and this is a real quote. Whatever religion can be concealed is not Christianity. Whatever religion can be concealed is not Christianity. And that's the perspective of James 2. So you imagine a hungry person shows up to church and you say to them, "Oh, you haven't eaten today? I'm sorry to hear that. Thanks for being here today. We hope that you'll come back next week and hear another amazing sermon," right? What good is that? Even people in the very earliest days of the church recognized that it was of no use. I remember one time many years ago now, I was serving a church in North Jersey, and we were having a congregational meeting. It was our church conference season, which is an annual meeting that we have in every Methodist church every year. And so we were gathered at the church. The district superintendent was there. We had a worship service planned. And part of the worship service was, the theme was something like abundance. And so as part of the worship service, we had on the altar table, we had all kinds of food. We had fruits and we had vegetables. You know, this is happening in the fall. But there were also some other items as well. And all this was supposed to represent God's abundance. Well, partway through the meeting, a guy came in that I'd never seen before, which is odd because generally speaking, even our members try to avoid coming to the church conference, right? But this guy walks in, and he sits down in the back, sits through the worship service, sits through the meeting, actually. And I walk up to him after, and I said, "So, tell me, you know, what's your name? What brings you here this evening?" And he says, "Well, you know, I saw the lights on, and I know that this is a church that takes care of people, that helps people in the community. And I was just wondering, do you have any food here?" And I was like, "Yes, absolutely." So we bagged up everything that was there and handed it to him. And honestly, I never saw him again. It was the strangest thing. Really a miraculous thing that just spoke to all that we were talking about during the worship service that evening. The district superintendent just asked me, "Did you know that guy? Does he come regularly?" I said, "No, absolutely not." But that's really what we're about, faith and action. Now, in the words of the scripture, faith is dead when it doesn't result in faithful activity. We don't believe our way into life change and into world change. Instead, we live our way into it. We are called to do the things that Jesus did. Sometimes, oftentimes actually, we have to have God demonstrate to us by first carrying out that which Jesus has called us to do. We have to have God demonstrate to us that God will be faithful. And only then will we believe actually what has been taught. So if you think about what did Jesus actually do, I tried to come up with a list of verbs. Jesus loved. Jesus taught. Jesus fed. Jesus healed. Jesus gave. Jesus forgave. There are a lot of other things that we could come up with too. Jesus built a community of people who were committed to ministry. Jesus practiced peace. He practiced peace even up to the point where instead of fighting back against those who would take his life, he actually submitted to death in order that we might know peace with God. Our faith is not meant to be a thing that we put into a box during the week, and then when we show up here at church on Sunday morning, we get it out. That's not how our faith is meant to be. Genuine faith, life-changing faith, world-changing faith, it requires something from us every single day. Every day. Believing is great, but it is not enough. It's not enough for us to be converts. What we're called to be is disciples. People who put what Jesus taught into action. Whatever religion can be concealed cannot be called Christianity. So I want to leave you with a couple questions this week. I want you to consider this. First, what if folks in Medford came to know this church, not just for what we believe, which we advertise very plainly, it's important. What if people in Medford came to know this church not only for what we believe, but what we do? What is it that you would want us to be known for? And I want to hear from you about that. What would you want us to be known for? Then I want you to think about how you would apply that same question to your own life. Can people look at me and see a reflection of what Jesus did In other words, if someone watched you this week, would they catch you doing some of the same things that Jesus himself did? Would they see you loving, teaching, feeding, healing, giving, forgiving? Would they see you doing those things? Would they see you building a community? Would they see you invested in relationships? Would they see you working to bring peace within your school, within your workplace, within your family, within your community, in your neighborhood? Faith is dead when it doesn't result in faithful activity. The world doesn't change because we believe what Jesus had to say. The world changes when we do what Jesus did. That's genuine faith. Let's pray together. God, we are grateful for your work in our lives. We're grateful for your work in this world. And as we go out from this place, we pray that you might remind us once more that you are a God who sends us forth not only to believe what you taught, but to do what you did. And so as we go forth, show us the opportunities to live out our faith in all the places we find ourselves this week. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.